Hey everyone, welcome to Disney Debates, the show where Disney fans break down the Disney fandom. This episode is brought to you by Popcorn Talk, so check them out on youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork for all of your pop culture discussion news. Now, let's get into it. Today's episode is about the best Walt Disney World theme parks. We cover everything from movies. In the last episode, we covered the Disney Renaissance, but today we're focusing outside of the movies, specifically on the Walt Disney World Orlando theme parks. And we have four panelists that are prepared to go extremely deep, each one representing a different Orlando park. And let's jump to it. Let's introduce the panelists. So tell us a little bit of who you are and what park you're representing.
Hey guys, my name is Patrick Dougal from this channel, Thingamavlogs, and Patrick Z Films across the social media board, and I am representing Epcot today as the best Walt Disney World park.
Hey guys, I'm Ian Wilmoth from Fresh Baked and Stuff, and I'm going to be making my case for why Animal Kingdom is the best park.
Hey friends, it's Francis Dominic over here from Instagram. Here I am representing Disney's Hollywood Studios, obviously the best Walt Disney World theme park.
And I'm Tiffany Mink from Thingamavlogs and Who's It's and What's It, and I'm representing Magic Kingdom.
And as always, to make sure that everyone stays in line and is in check, we have our fabulous fact checker hanging out in the corner.
It me, Sarah. You know me from Thingamavlogs, and I'm Sarah Sterling on YouTube as well. And I'm ready for the Googling.
You're all Googled up?
I'm Googled up.
We got our headsets on. We look like announcers. We're prepared to cover this. So the way this is going to roll out is we are going to break the debate down into different categories. But before we get too detailed into specifics, I want to start with an opening remark. So I want each of you to state your case on why your park is the best Walt Disney World park.
Well, here we go. Epcot, Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow, also known as Walt's Baby. Now, this is a park that Walt wanted since the beginning. Unfortunately, he never got to see it come to fruition, but I think it is the most unique Walt Disney World park in the essence of what it's about and what it contains.
I would argue Animal Kingdom is best. It has the great combination of everything. Theming, great variety in food, unique attractions, living animals, all wrapped up in a great conservational, kind of educational aspect to it as well.
Let's see. So, obviously, Disney's Hollywood Studios is the best Walt Disney theme park, and it was also officially just renamed from Disney's MGM Studios. There's so much rich history and details into it, and so many beautiful stories that are aligned with Disney's Hollywood Studios. So just the rich storytelling from that park alone beats out all three of these bozos.
Yikes!
But tell us how you really feel.
All right.
All right, when you think about Walt Disney World, or any Disney park for that matter, the staple is the park that has the castle in it, which is Magic Kingdom. It is a staple across the world, not just with Walt Disney World, but when you think about your vacation to Disney World, you're thinking about walking in and seeing the castle and watching the fireworks at night. And you can't have any of these other parks without Magic Kingdom. It was so successful in Anaheim with Disneyland that Walt was like, we need to do this again on a much larger scale. So it's an indisputable fact that it is the most popular, it's the most loved, and provides the most like magical experience between all four of them.
Uh-oh, I sense Tiff has an ace up her sleeve with Disneyland being in the mix here. But quick reminder to everyone watching this at home, I know you're going to have your preconceived notions, but just have an open mind going into this. Listen to everybody's points, and at the end of the show, we'd like you guys to enter who you thought made the best case for their particular park in the comments below. You guys ready to go? You guys ready to jump into this?
I mean, I guess.
I could just see it. You got to prep all your points. The first category we're going to start with is attractions. So we want to know why, based on attractions, why your park is the best park. Patrick, kick it off.
Attractions at Epcot. I think there's a great mix of attractions at Epcot. You have your thrill rides, and then you have your normal, moderate type rides. Of course, my favorite ride at Epcot is Spaceship Earth. I think it's just you can actually go into the icon of that park and ride an attraction within the icon, which is awesome. Plus, it's a giant ball. But of course, you have Dame Judi Dench narrating it, which is an indisputable fact. It's an amazing ride. Second, you also have a more Disney-esque rides. Most recently, Frozen Ever After was just replaced with some amazing animatronics. So you get your Disney aspects in there. And of course, you get your worldly aspects with like Soarin', which just got updated to Soarin' Around the World. And then you have your thrill rides, which are Test Track, which just not recently got updated, but it's almost like a Tron track now. And Mission Space, which is another thrill ride. Or you can take the moderate version of the green and orange side, so you can go mild to wild. But
mild to wild. Lessened. It's like more intense or more intense.
And of course, besides those rides, you also have the educational rides. Another one of my favorite is Living with the Land, where you can actually go through the Epcot greenhouses and learn about some of the plants that they actually use in the cooking of Epcot. So you get to see it, and then you get to eat it. And then of course, in the World Showcase, there's a lot of other rides. Like I said, Frozen Ever After or the Mexican ride. I don't know what that's called.
Grand Fact Fiesta checker. Tour. It's called the Grand Fiesta Tour. I didn't even have to Google.
It's called the Grand Fiesta Tour, which also just got new animatronics of the Three Caballeros. So I think there's a multitude of different rides for everyone's aspects, from children to the more thrill seekers.
Okay, next up, Animal Kingdom. Make your case.
So Animal Kingdom, I think, probably has one of the most diverse lineups of attractions. You have Expedition Everest, roller coaster, beautifully themed, going through Mount Everest, encountering the Yeti. Kali River Rapids. You will get wet. I guarantee it. I believe there's three different animal trails: Discovery Island Trails, Maharaja Jungle Trek, and Gorilla Falls Trails. Those, you have the Kilimanjaro Safaris, which you can go out on a truck, see all the animals of the safari: lions, giraffes, elephants, rhinoceros, hippos, all of them. And you have Dinosaur, which tech-wise, if you've ridden Indy, it's that kind of fun, but dinosaurs.
A lot of unique points for this park, huh?
Yeah.
Francis, where are you at?
Oh, attractions over here in Disney's Hollywood Studios. Obviously, top three is going to be the classic Twilight Zone of Tower of Terror, towering at 199 feet. So obviously, it's majorly almost as tall as everyone else's like high points in their parks. Also, we have the famous Rock and Roller Coaster, obviously accompanied by the lovely band Aerosmith. And you go, what, 0 to 57 to 58 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds?
There's a lot of fact-checking that needs to go on right here.
I did my studies. And last but not least, you have Star Tours with a combination of 54 different ride types, and it takes about 6 hours to experience all of that. So you have variety versus all these attractions that keep going and have the same rotation. But over here in Disney's Hollywood Studios, you have about everything and more. And let's not forget the classic Great Movie Ride. Patrick was pointing out how his Epcot golf ball had an attraction in it. But we also have an icon and a real attraction in it. We have actors, different movie scenes, and obviously iconic stuff that happened in the Hollywood timeline over there in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Mm. Fact checker popping in here. Tower of Terror is 199 feet, confirmed, and Rock and Roller Coaster does go 0 to 57 miles per hour.
Very precise information. Way to pull through there.
All right. When you think of Magic Kingdom, Magic Kingdom has all of the classic attractions that we all know and love. They all come and stem from our love of all of the classic Disney movies that we love. You have Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, all of those amazing thrill rides. You also have like the super classic dark rides. You have Peter Pan, Teacups, Dumbo, which is the only ride to exist in every single Disney park in the world in the same version. You have the carousel, but in Shanghai it's Fantasia themed, so Dumbo is the only thing that exists everywhere else in the world because it is such an iconic staple within Disney park history. And like I said, all the attractions are based off of these Disney stories and properties that we know and love, like Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland, and not only that, but it's also influencing new properties that are based off of these attractions, like the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is based off of the ride, which is arguably one of Disney's most successful and popular franchises. And we're getting the Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock coming out soon, which is going to be super exciting. And what's nice about the attractions throughout Magic Kingdom is you kind of get thrill rides and you also get dark rides. It really runs the gamut and is truly a park with attractions for all ages, because you can take babies on rides and then your grandma can go on a ride and then your 17-year-old cousin can go on a ride and everyone can have a really amazing time. And they provide like the ultimate magical experiences and memories.
Okay, now, I noticed that when some of you were making your points, others had counterpoints to what you were saying. So
was I not supposed to do that?
No, that's okay. Oh, okay. I want to open the floor up for you to discuss amongst each other, amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with Patrick, because Patrick is eager to go.
Let's just start.
But you can all mingle. You can all talk.
Let's just start. So Tiff made a point earlier about Disneyland. I don't want to go into too many of the outside Walt Disney World parks, but I do believe every ride she mentioned at Magic Kingdom is also at another park. There's nothing unique about Magic Kingdom. I can ride pirates in Disneyland. I can ride pirates in Shanghai. I can ride pirates in Tokyo. All these rides are also in other parks, and there's nothing that's so unique about it. Pirate Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, they're all at Disneyland. They're all somewhere else. So no matter where I go, there's nothing unique about Magic Kingdom in the attractions. However, at Epcot, like, where else are you going to go living with the land? You can't. Where else are you going to go on a Finding Nemo dark ride? You can't. There is moderate versions.
Actually, we have that in Disneyland. Sorry to interrupt there, but we do have a Finding Nemo
it's
ride.
It's a submarine. It is way too different.
And also in Tokyo.
Uh-oh.
That's just me.
It just so Ben Butch is a simulator similar to Star Tours. So completely different.
Yeah, but you're talking about differences between those attractions, and there are differences between Disneyland and Disney World versions of the same
It's the exact same ride system. I'm talking about, do you think the submarine version and the Finding Nemo dark ride are the same ride systems?
No, they're
all
not the
three
same
different,
ride system.
But a pirate boat ride and a pirate boat ride at Disneyland and Walt Disney World are going to be the same.
Sure, but true Disney fans want to see those nuances between those attractions, because what we all want to do is compare and contrast.
But I'm saying, like, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, all these are, like, very similar rides, and I will say that, like, Epcot does a similar ride, too. Of course, you have Test Track and then Radiator Springs Racers, but where else in the world is there a Mission Space or a Frozen Ever After dark ride? I just think Magic Kingdom has the most rides that can be found in other Disney parks.
So you're arguing your case is uniqueness.
Uniqueness. Mm. I don't think Magic Kingdom is as unique because all the attractions there can be found elsewhere.
It's hard for me to fact check because it's hard for me to know a lot about the international parks, but I do believe there are some specific attractions to Magic Kingdom, and Tiff would know best.
I know, there probably are. I'm just saying every one she mentioned in the beginning can be found in another park.
The majority of...
Checked.
Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're also talking about how, like, Frozen Ever After in Epcot is, like, some unique ride system, and it's still just a boat ride. Living with the Land is still just a boat ride. So you're not really, like, new ride systems, which is what you're kind of basing your argument on.
No, but it's a brand new ride as well.
Sure, but you can't have... A Disney park cannot exist if you don't have a Pirates, if you don't have a Jungle Cruise, if you don't have a Peter Pan. Like, I don't want to live in a world where a Magic Kingdom doesn't
have those
things.
A Disney park can exist, because Epcot exists. Animal Kingdom is Hollywood Studios exists.
Yeah, but you
can't Disney park is not a Magic Kingdom. It's
no,
a Disney park.
We're talking about the Walt Disney Resort as a whole, mm-hmm. which includes Magic Kingdom. We're talking... I mean, if you want to bring these other parks into it, all of these classic rides are in all of the parks for a specific reason. They are known. They are loved. You can't have a park, a Disney Parks and Resort, without having those classic attractions.
I agree. But I'm just saying, in general, the uniqueness of Magic Kingdom kind of wears off because it is there's a lot of double attractions.
Does it?
Yes.
Because it is the highest attended theme park in the world historically for like the past 10 years.
Because it's familiar.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what they're getting with that.
Because everybody loves it.
But if we're arguing uniqueness, then Epcot and Animal Kingdom, for that matter, have probably the best variety of rides.
And Hollywood Studios.
Uniqueness doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best.
No, but you get the most, you can try the most different things.
Sure, but it still doesn't mean it's the best.
Just so everyone knows, the worldwide rankings of Disney theme parks and all theme parks rank Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World as the most attended theme park in the entire world, followed up by Disneyland Park. And then the next Disney World park on the list is number 6 with Epcot.
See, what you don't get any of those as an actual safari. That's something that no other park can get, at least Disney park can give you, even in the world, getting to get up close with giraffes, rhinos, and hippos, animals that most people never get to see in their entire lives. Then you have Expedition Everest. It's the most roller coaster that goes backwards, then forward again. You have Rafiki's Planet Watch, which with you take the train over to it. It's one of the few parks left that has a petting zoo, quite frankly.
But I'm not going to argue that there are unique attractions to these other parks. Like, we all know that. That's why we all go to all four. When you take a Walt Disney World Resort vacation, you always go to all four parks because you want to experience everything that each park has to offer. But Magic Kingdom, at the end of the day, still has the most attractions. It has the most original attractions since the park opened, which proves... It totally does, which proves that they're like, they have sustainability and are popular enough that they don't want that change. As far as the original opening day attractions that still exist in all of these parks, Hollywood Studios has one. It opened with the Great Movie Ride. And
don't come for me, sis.
That's the Great Movie Ride is the only original day attraction. Animal Kingdom still has 12 original attractions. Epcot only has 5. And Magic Kingdom has 15.
Well, obviously, Disney's Hollywood Studios is getting very much a big upgrade versus to all three of you combined right now. We are getting Star Wars Land and also Toy Story Land, but we also have the attractions that everyone wants to ride. Yes, Magic Kingdom has these classic attractions. Yes, they are animals in Animal Kingdom because it clearly says Animal Kingdom. And yes, Epcot... I forgot. Who are you again? I'm just kidding. No one has fired. I'm sorry.
I'm just a representation of the entire culture of the world. But you know what?
No one wants to touch you. No one wants to upgrade you. No one wants to do with you anything with you right now. And
I'm sorry. You're stuck in the '80s. Soarin' upgrade.
So did everyone. Everyone else got Soarin' upgrade. Like you have nothing new. Literally, Hollywood Studios is getting 2 new lands, and on top of that, we have 2 to 3 e-ticket attractions that are so popular versus to all three of you guys. I mean Hollywood Studios.
Excuse me, you're just an IP over here. What speaks to me, Disney? What does Aerosmith mean to Disney?
Rock and roll, baby!
What does Tower of Terror mean to Disney? Of course, Star Wars just got bought, but you're in IP land. There's nothing like classic Disney about you.
But everyone still wants to come to me, right? No. Everyone's getting tired of your country.
It is fair. That is the argument. Which of the three parks is the best park? Not which represents Disney the best.
Yes.
Just want to make that clear for anyone.
But when you go to a Disney park, you want to experience some Disney magic.
That's a fair argument.
Which is a Magic Kingdom.
In terms of attractions at Hollywood Studios that are based off of original Disney IPs, there's Toy Story Mania.
There you go.
Just saying.
So Disney magic is certainly a bullet point that you could argue is a reason to attend the park, for sure.
Walt Disney, one man's dream.
There's another one.
Are we going to talk about the elephant in the room, which is whatever the dinosaur land is in Animal Kingdom?
Oh, it is a carnival that you can find down the street. Besides Dinosaur, which is a great ride, I will say Dinosaur is a great ride. Dino Land USA contains a carnival that you will find down the street. I feel bad for Joe Rohde, who was the creative designer of Animal Kingdom, because I'm sure he hangs his head in shame when he walks by Dino Land USA.
Oh, I will grant that Dinorama half not great, but you know what? They took what the little budget they had and worked with it.
I mean, also when Animal Kingdom was first being built and conceptualized, I don't know if you've noticed, but when you first walk into Animal Kingdom and you have the Animal Kingdom sign, there's a dragon. Yeah. On there, because Animal Kingdom was supposed to have this really cool mythical element where you could learn about dragons, and it was going to be this really Kingdom. It was going to be this like really amazing part of the park. It's just kind of like, oh, we had this really cool idea, but then we didn't do it.
No, now we're going to put they've in been Navi. Since now getting something else that still fulfills that kind of mythical animal that never existed, Pandora, which I believe as Francis has just seen is pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
He can attest to. He was there just recently.
Oh, yeah.
It is cool, but it's also like we're bringing in attractions and an IP that has like a PG-13 rating and is like maybe not the most family-friendly property to kind of bring into a park. And I know that Avatar is supposed to have like all these sequels, but like we should have had those by now. It's been forever.
That's
since
not Disney's fault, though. Yeah. That's on James Cameron. That's not on Disney's fault.
Then get a different IP to put in there.
I will argue into Animal Kingdom's point that it is one of the biggest points for Animal Kingdom is conservation and the ecosystem, which Avatar plays a big
portion. Pandora plays right into that.
Into it.
Seems like an odd fit, but in the execution, it works really well, playing right into the idea of conservation, living with the environment, and it fits beautifully.
Other Disney movies with a PG-13 rating... almost all Pirates. The Pirates of the Caribbean movies and Saving Mr. Banks.
Weird.
I can't wait for my Saving Mr. Banks land. When do we get that and at which park?
With Hollywood Studios, like I feel like when you go, it's kind of known for being a half-day park.
It is. That's strictly what it was designed for. Hence why we are upgrading it so it could become a full-day park. Disney's Hollywood Studios was actually too good for Epcot. It was supposed to be a pavilion, but the Imagineers wanted to take it and create a whole theme park, create another half-day theme park with it. And so therefore, Disney's Hollywood Studios came.
It's like I said, it's an IP park. Of course, Power Rangers was there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was there. All these random things were there because they didn't know what to do with it. I'm sure there's an attraction there that they moved out every other year. It was like Chronicles of Narnia, and then it became some pirates thing. And I don't know. Now it's a secondary Midway Mania track because they're like, we ran out of ideas. Let's just put another Midway Mania track in there because no one knows what to do with that park. Finally, they kind of have an idea, but let's see how many years that takes.
I love that you're talking about Ninja Turtles being at Hollywood Studios when I am pretty sure there was a Barbie show at Epcot.
Like, yes, that's very true. I remember that commercial.
I also want to point out that adding Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers is making me like the park more. So,
Disney Imagineers, led by Marty Sklar and Randy Bright, were given an assignment to create two new pavilions for Epcot in the Future World section, but then it turned into its own park, Disney Hollywood Studios. Seems like there was a few Barbie things that happened at Epcot.
Oh, yes, there was.
Because there's no women representation. We want to give little girls some representation.
Oh, get
over
out.
Here at
Epcot. You're the worst.
As well as culture diversity.
Because Barbie is so diverse.
The Magical World of Barbie, May 1994 at Epcot. And then she also celebrated her birthday later in Epcot as well.
All amazing points, you guys. All well done, all well spoken. So in the comments, let us know which park do you think has the best attractions overall. But let's move on to the next category. Now, I'd love it if you guys could debate the point of foods, a personal favorite of mine. So let's actually start on this side of the table. Tiff, why does your park have the best food?
Well, be our guest. I mean, do you even have to go any further than Be Our Guest? It is the hardest place to currently get a reservation out of all the restaurants throughout the Walt Disney World Resort. And Magic Kingdom really offers every single classic Disney food that you want. It has the Mickey pretzel, the churros, the Dole Whip, everything that you want and associate with that, the cotton candy, everything. So not only does it have all the classic food, but it has two like really great, like two of my favorite things that I can get out of all of the parks is Sleepy Hollow, the waffle sandwiches, which are amazing. Like getting a chicken and waffle sandwich is rad. And then Friar's Nook in Fantasyland has a barbecue chicken mac and cheese that is super good. I know it might not be the most diverse place that you can get food throughout any of these parks, but they offer the staples, they offer all of your favorites, and you're not dissatisfied by any of the options that are there. It's made to please everyone in your family. You don't have to argue about a bunch of different things. Like there's hamburgers, hot dogs, there's, you know, chicken fingers. So there's something to please everyone in Magic Kingdom for your whole stay in the park.
Hardest place to get a reservation in Walt Disney World is something that is going to change at different times of the year. But many different websites that help plan a Disney World vacation list Be Our Guest restaurant as one of the hardest places. I would say the second most listed is still
Cinderella Royal Table.
Cinderella Royal Table.
Both in Magic Kingdom.
And then after that, they kind of go into the hotels. So just wanted to point that out.
Food, food, food. If anyone knows about food, it's definitely going to be me. Let's see. First off, Hollywood Studios is the only theme park in Orlando that sells lightsaber churros.
Oh, so, you win.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for watching today's episode.
Also, the restaurants I love in Disney's Hollywood Studios, actually, Sci-Fi. Is it Sci-Fi Dine-In Movie? Yes, because once you walk into this big, beautiful restaurant, you're suddenly watching a giant movie, and then you get to sit in a car, and it's like you're back in the 50s again, and I feel like I'm dating like a really cute boy, so therefore I really love that restaurant. The other restaurant that I really appreciate is going to be 50s Primetime Cafe. As you guys know, when you guys go in, you are meant with auntie or uncle as your server, and you guys are eating at basically what it looks like a home, and then you're watching obviously 50s television shows. The struggle that I have with all of the theme parks that combine is the best quick service food location, and I feel that ABC Studios or the ABC Canteen is one of those really, really fantastic quick service, because it's very quick, it's very easy, it sells a lot of the stuff that American families and also people from all around the world that want to try, whether it comes to just your regular burgers or chicken tenders, even french fries. I think that's in the essence of what I can talk about. Oh, also the classic Brown Derby. I think that's what it's called, right, Sarah? Yes, the Brown Derby. The Brown Derby was inspired from this Hollywood restaurant here in California that we brought over there to Orlando to obviously have some rich history, because obviously in Disney's Hollywood Studios, you have to have some kind of Hollywood in there and some kind of history that is fantastic in the essence of storytelling.
Yeah!
All right, AK, take us there.
Animal Kingdom has got a bit of everything for everyone. You have your standard quick service fare and a couple spots with burgers and hot dogs and pizza. But then you get a lot more authentic stuff in the Asia and Africa areas of Anantapur Village and Harambe Village, where you can get a more authentic, in Asia, teriyaki beef and ginger chicken. In Africa, you have skewers, there's gyro flatbreads, ribs, sausages, and a lot in Tusker House, where there's character dining, also with it's a buffet style with lots of grains, and again, authentic African in food. And you have everything at all these different tier prices, so you can try the quick serve stuff for the Asian and the African, as well as the nicer table service. It really has a bit of everything for everyone, and without feeling cheap. You have a little bit of everything for everyone, and even the quick service stuff, you got a good twist on it. The pizzas are all flatbread pizzas. The barbecue, Flame Tree Barbecue, is, at least my friends who've been there always tell me that's some of the best barbecue they've had. They love that seasoning for that flavoring. And yeah, a little bit for everyone.
Hey guys, I'm sure when you heard this category, you laughed at every other park because Epcot is all about the food experience. Of course, there's so much diversity of Epcot. It's so ingrained in food that they actually have a festival, the Wine and Food Festival, that has been continuously extended because people love it so much. It used to be like 2 months long. Now it's like 4 months long. It's like all of fall because everyone can't get enough of the dining experiences at Epcot. There is a restaurant or food in every pavilion, so the diversity is immense. And if you're not into that that diverse experience, there's also in interventions, you have your standard fare, you have your hot dogs, you have your hamburgers, so there's whatever you want, Epcot has. If you want Chinese food, go to the China Pavilion. If you want Japanese food, go to the Japanese Pavilion. Germany has Beer Garden, which is my favorite restaurant because it is a buffet, and it's, I would say, one of the cheapest dinner buffets for a park. I believe it's like $30, which is standard, but for dinner, especially for authentic German buffet, it is really good. Plus, they have pretzel rolls, which are delicious. Of course, Cinderella's Royal Table, they have a Princess Meet and Greet. Well, we have Princess Meet and Greets at
Norway.
Arcusius. In Germany. So there's definitely that Disney aspect as well, but I think food is a no-brainer Epcot. Of course, if you are, say, vegetarian or vegan, you can go to Garden Grill? The restaurant in the Land Pavilion, where they actually used the fish or the plants from the land ride, that which you actually saw. So you know your meal is being freshly prepared. Of course, if you want seafood, you can go to Living with the Seas. They have a beautiful aquarium, amazing food. I just think food is a no-brainer at Epcot.
So if you have any dietary restrictions, actually all four parks, including the resorts also, actually have separate menus for you if you are vegetarian or if you want gluten-free or any kind of that stuff. Just remember, Disney loves to think of everyone, and what we can offer is obviously a lot.
So there are options for everyone, but each park has their own unique flair. So we're looking at, in the Magic Kingdom, you have some of the most desired eateries with some of the most unique theming. You're claiming that Hollywood Studios has some of the best cohesive overall theming for all of the eateries and some of the best quick service food out of all the parks. You're claiming that the Animal Kingdom has a little bit for everybody, no matter what you feel like eating, and also has a unique spin on all of the different cultural foods. Epcot, you're claiming that you have the best options. You have something for everyone, of every culture. You're known for your food. It's one of the reasons the park has some of the fame that it has. It even has a festival themed around food specifically. So those are your points. Now, all of you, I want you all to discuss amongst yourselves why some of you don't agree with each other, basically.
I just want to start with theming. Magic Kingdom has great theming in two of its restaurants, Be Our Guest and Royal Table. Great. I think theming for every restaurant in Epcot, almost every restaurant, the Mexican restaurant, you're dining in like the nighttime Aztec temple. Beer Garden, you're actually in a beer garden with a show. Living with the Seas, you're surrounded by an aquarium. So I think there's the more theming in Epcot than Magic Kingdom.
I think the same can be said about Animal Kingdom, though, whether you're in Harambe Market or in Anapundur, or now it's just start opening in a couple weeks in Pandora. I think that holds true there.
With so theming of the eateries.
I mean, I think Disney does a really fantastic job at theming every restaurant mm-hmm. around, like, what it's based around. But what I think is really great about those restaurants in Magic Kingdom is that we're getting this beautiful theming based on properties that we love. I mean, you eat inside of Cinderella Castle. That's, like, the ultimate goal for, like, me. And
but no, that's like, not biased at all.
Every little girl, like, you, that's the ultimate princess dining experience. Like, yes, you can eat with princesses in Epcot, but you want to eat with princesses inside of a castle.
I will say, Francis makes a point about best quick service. I do think best quick service is actually be our guest during normal operating lunch. Hours for lunch or
no,
breakfast.
There's no more right. normal operating operations. It's all reservations now. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Breakfast is reservation now?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Lunch well, too. That's because it's so good and so popular that they yeah. have to
it's
do
quick
that.
Service, but you have to have a reservation.
But you have to have a reservation.
Mm. We're not, we can't argue that Epcot has the most diverse
yeah,
food.
Yeah, literally.
Like, that, you, that's not given. An argument.
That's
like,
literally
that's
given to you.
But, like, people only go to Epcot to eat. Like, Epcot is literally a food, it's a food-based park, which is great for this argument, but the food in Epcot kind of overshadows everything else that Epcot has to offer, I feel like.
I'm pretty sure if you put it in different parks, if some kind of festival that offers different type of foods, like, let's say they offered, like, different kiosks for some magical thing, or...
if they did a festival in Animal Kingdom, that would be incredible.
Oh my gosh, I would go to Animal Kingdom's, like, food festivals on yeah. top of Epcot's.
I don't think I've ever had any memorable food in Animal Kingdom. Every time I go to Animal Kingdom, it's like...
You're offended, and that's not even your argument.
I feel, when I go to Animal Kingdom, like... I don't have a super diverse palate. I'm not the only person in the world like that, but I don't know, when I go to Animal Kingdom, I find myself struggling to, like, get food that I really want. Like, I've never gotten anything from Animal Kingdom where I've been like, wow, that was amazing.
Nothing may stand out, but there's nothing that's dissatisfying there either. There's nothing like, oh, that was just all right. It's like, oh, that was good. Everything is, nothing is dissatisfying there. Whereas I have to do this, but Hollywood Studios is probably one of the least interesting menus in a park I've possibly ever seen.
I would agree.
Every location is burgers, hot dogs, pizza, salad, sandwiches. There's nothing that at all that stands out. And even the stuff, they're just okay.
I agree fully, except Primetime is my favorite restaurant within Walt
Disney. I'll give you that.
Primetime is my least favorite restaurant.
What?
I don't want to go on a vacation and have some cast member screaming at me to eat my
they
piece.
Don't
that's
steaming.
Also why I never eat
there. Steaming!
That's
also why
I've never eaten there.
Just to make one more point, of course, we're talking about parks in general and food in general. So, of course, we're very limited with Magic Kingdom if you're over 21 and want alcoholic beverages. All other three parks except for Be Our Guest, where you can get wine and beer. There you go.
There's a lot more places you can get alcohol now.
I'm just saying, in very easily accessible alcoholic beverages, all three of these parks have more variety, especially Epcot. But if we're talking in general, if you are over 21, I think the points about alcohol are very important.
But, like, is that why you want to go to a park?
We're just talking about food.
I know, I'm just saying, but, like...
It's a general part. If you want alcohol, a lot of people want alcohol when you're going to any park, even not even a Disney park. A lot of people enjoy having alcohol.
Yeah.
I know that's part of, like, your park-going experience, but, like, the ease of getting that or not, like, if that's really something that you want to do, like... That is something that is available in all four. I mean, Magic Kingdom has Be Our Guest, Cinderella Royal Table, Tony's, the Skipper Canteen, and Liberty Tree Tavern are all
which are none, which are all like almost sit down that you have to sit down and have your beer instead of take away like quick service.
I mean, essentially,
Patrick's looking out for those bored dads.
I was about to say this is an argument. Yeah. This is an argument that why your park might be better if an adult is taking.
Yeah, essentially, like Epcot's so good because they have a whole food and wine festival.
So a lot of really solid points from you guys from all of your different parks and the food they represent. To close out this argument, I want each of you to tell me from your respective park what is your favorite place to eat.
Of course, my favorite, you get your most bang for the buck and authentically diverse food is Beer Garden in Germany in Epcot.
I think for me, probably Harambe Market or Tusker House. The skewers, the kind of grain-based foods. Like when I was at Tusker House, I had a couscous. It was amazing.
And Disney's Hollywood Studios, I would probably say I would love to always eat at the Sci-Fi Drive-In, yes.
Like you're on a date with a boy.
Exactly.
The barbecue chicken mac and cheese at Friar's Nook is It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And it's like a super healthy portion size. It's like super good value.
All right. You all made excellent cases for your food. And now I'm starving. So let's stop talking about food for a second. We've already discussed attractions and food. But next up on the list, we're going to be discussing shows at the parks. So I want to start with Ian at the Animal Kingdom. Why does your park have the best shows? And what shows does it have?
Animal Kingdom's got shows. You have Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo musical, which has probably some of the best production value you'll see in a theme park show. You have the all-new Rivers of Light. Beautiful projections, fountains, a little bit of fire in there. You have a new projection show on the Tree of Life called Tree of Life Awakenings. And then you have street performances throughout the park, making it feel like just feel alive in Africa and Asia and Discovery Island.
So Disney's Hollywood Studios, obviously, bada bing, bada boom. Lights, camera, action. There are so many beautiful shows in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I'm going to start with Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, as we have the rather dashing Indiana himself coursing through the whole stage and including the audience with it also. And then let's not forget how we have our street shows also in Sunset Boulevard and also on the main in the essence of the main street on Hollywood Studios, the Citizens of Hollywood, there you go. And let's not forget what everyone loves, Star Wars. There's so many different shows based on Star Wars that it's almost a Star Wars overload. It's starting to become a Star Wars land, Star Wars park. Also, in Disney's Hollywood Studios, we have the Little Mermaid show, which is so cute. I think it's the only place where I want to meet Ursula because she actually comes out in this like giant puppetry and kind of just like tantalizes you. And I just think it's so cool. It's so cute and cool. And then Beauty and the Beast, a whole stage show in the course of what, 27 to 30 minutes, showcasing their best show in the Disney's Hollywood Studios. And also Dream a Fantastic Dream. Let's not forget the classic Fantasmic show. And to close it out with a classic Steamboat Willie boat from 1928, as if Mickey just like popped out of the TV. And there he is with all his friends. So Disney's Hollywood Studios is the place for shows. And oh my gosh, I just remembered. How could I forget the Star Wars fireworks, where it has the grand projection of the lightsaber and Darth Vader and all of our favorites from all 7 episodes, including Rogue One. So I think I just shut it down.
Oh, a sun nap. Magic Kingdom, where are you at?
Not dreaming along.
Oh, man, brutal.
Whoa.
For real, though.
I thought we were like friendships being linked in a chain of silver and gold.
That is breakable.
Nobody wants today. Apparently not today.
I mean, let's start with like the biggest thing to talk about in Magic Kingdom, which is the fireworks show, which is the icing on the cake, the cherry on top when it comes to your Walt Disneyland experience. You cannot go to Walt Disney World and not see the fireworks over the castle. It is iconic, absolutely unforgettable. That's what makes everybody cry, is the fireworks show in Magic Kingdom. You just got a brand new castle show. It was Dream Along, which was amazing, but now they have revamped that with new characters, newer properties, brand new songs. We have amazing, like, Talking Minnie and Mickey, which I don't believe Talking Minnie or Mickey are in any other shows within Magic Kingdom. So it's really cool to be able to see that. Like Donald talks, Daisy talks. It's super fun, super great. You have the Move It, Shake It. What's the whole song?
Move It, Shake Move It, Dance It, Play It.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Move It, Shake It, Dance It, Play It, which is a really fun street party. It gets everybody involved. You have the opportunity to actually go dance with characters. They've incorporated new technology with that, where you can take a selfie with a character, with your family, whatever. You upload it with the right hashtag, and they can actually show your images on the parade floats, which is a really cool thing to get your families and kids excited about that. You have Festival of Fantasy, which is probably the best Disney parade that has existed yet, outside of Paint the Night.
I was gonna say.
Best daytime parade, okay. I believe, is Festival of Fantasy. You get, like I said, you get all of these amazing characters and these amazing properties brought in, but the floats themselves are phenomenal. The music is amazing. You also get kind of smaller shows peppered throughout the park, like the trolley show that happens on Main Street. Mm-hmm. It's a really cute aesthetic and adds a lot to what Main Street has to offer, because it is kind of like period and some really great choreography. And it kind of makes different stops throughout Main Street, so it's cool to like just be walking by and be like, oh, like, here they are. They're really cool. And what I actually really love that's pretty new to the park is the history with the Muppets. I don't remember the name of that
specifically. Great moments in history with the Muppets.
Great moments in history with the Muppets is amazing. I'm not particularly like a history buff myself, but I love Muppets. There's something really great about actually seeing Kermit and Miss Piggy and Sam the Eagle like being live. Like that doesn't really exist anywhere else. We had the Muppet Show like 3D, but you didn't get actual Muppets kind of involved with that. So it's a really great addition to Liberty Square.
Last but not least, we got Epcot.
Epcot. Now, there's it's a lot of atmosphere around Epcot. Of course, with the pavilions, they want to make it authentic and make it atmosphere. So whether if you're going through Mexican, you'll have a mariachi band playing, or in the UK, they have a tribute band to UK songs, or in France, you'll have jugglers, or especially in Beer Garden, you have the authentic German, like, what is the instrument? The big horn that's, like, 6 feet long. But, of course, there are some scheduled things as well. Of course, the probably one of the best vocals you'll find in any Walt Disney World park is the Voices of Liberty, who do, of course, American songs as well as Disney covers as well. And there's a mixture of attraction slash show in the American Pavilion called the American Adventure, which has the most crazy animatronics I've ever seen. It's very similar if you've seen Mr. Lincoln or something like that, with animatronics standing up and talking and moving, and it's a nice sit-down show as well.
If by sit-down you mean nap time.
Dang.
It's not your turn.
It's not your turn. We're not arguing.
He was breaking the thing.
You're breaking the thing.
But I think in terms of Epcot, there is just the atmosphere. But of course, we have to end the night with a fireworks show, which I think, besides the storytelling in Magic Kingdom, I do think Epcot has the best fireworks. You are the closest to them. There is a giant globe that comes out, and I feel like since it happens in the middle of Epcot, there is no bad space. It's around a whole circle, so there's plenty of viewing, and it comes with very original music. It's not Disney ingrained. It's not taking samples from Disney other music. It is a Disney original score celebrating the culture and diversity of America, which Walt Disney loved America.
So I'm just going to open the forum right now because I could barely hold Tiff back over here. She was flying out of her chair, her fists are clenched, and she's ready to come after you, Patrick. So
it's not coming after Patrick.
It's coming after Epcot. No main staple.
Illuminations is the most dated show that I think still exists.
I'm sorry, how long did Wishes last for before it finally got updated?
I'm not going to argue that, like, Wishes, yes, Wishes overstayed its welcome. Everyone loves Wishes. Everybody does love Wishes. And yeah.
Everyone loves Illumination.
I don't watch that show. Not. That's not a show that I will physically stop for.
And also, you're, like, closest to the fireworks because they're so, like, small. Like,
no, it's because it's happening right in the middle.
But obviously, you're infested with the smog, too. It's just not planned very well. Illuminations is literally a sick joke to Epcot. I'm so sorry.
Everyone is ripping you in the comments.
No, that's totally fine. And when he said best fireworks, he obviously has
not... fireworks.
Fireworks. Have you seen...
the quality of the pyrotechnics.
Yes.
Have you seen the pyrotechnics of Happily Ever After? It is absolutely incredible.
And the show in general, incorporated with the fireworks and the... The fireworks, they kind of lose... Everyone's looking at the castle. No one's looking up.
Perimeter fireworks are the most amazing things that Magic Kingdom has to offer. That's if you don't know what the perimeter fireworks are, they literally have to shut down roads in order to like ignite these fireworks from where they're located because it's a, like 360 around all of Main Street. The perimeter fireworks are like the greatest thing that Magic Kingdom has.
Fourth of July.
It's amazing.
It really sucks because, I feel bad for Animal Kingdom because they don't have a lot of shows.
Well, they have shows, but they can't do any pyro because of the animals. That's why they made Rivers of Light a more lighting, water, and projection based.
And it was not even that great either, which sucks so bad. The only thing you guys, Epcot Illuminations is the only thing they have going for them, and that's, like, super dated. And then I feel like in Animal Kingdom, the only thing that's going for them is also Festival of the Lion King, which everyone loves to watch. Because I know every time I go to Disney World, I have to see Festival of the Lion King. And I feel like that's the only show that's going for that park at the moment.
No.
They did try for Rivers of Light.
No. Finding Nemo and Festival of the Lion King are both the number one and number two park shows in Walt Disney World.
I don't like Finding Nemo. I don't like that show. I fell
It's an odd show, to be sure, but it has some of the best production value I've ever seen in a theme park show.
I fall asleep to it all the time.
The quality of the sets, the wire work, the costumes.
The talent.
Yeah, the talent. Like, never seen anything like that in a theme park.
I mean, I can respect a show, but I can't watch it. Like, when I lived in Florida for 6 to 7 months, I watched the Finding Nemo musical only once. That's how much I feel about it.
I see Finding Nemo and Lion King every time we go to Animal Kingdom.
Same. I feel sorry for you, yeah. Franny. Like, what's...
You don't even stop for, like, all the incredible street performances. I think it's Viva Gaia Parade. I forget the exact name. But all those, like, it's a party on Discovery Island or in Harambe Village.
I've done that party. Yeah.
I get a lot of anxiety walking by this because I'm like, please don't pull me in for this show. Please don't pull me in for the show.
They pull me in
all the time, and I'm always like, I got to get to my fast pass for the safari.
It's hard to say what show is the most expensive to produce, so won't comment on that. But what I will say is that the Lion King show at Animal Kingdom was never intended to be permanent, but then it was so popular that they kept it. Pulling from like 5 different Disney World travel blogs, almost all of them list Finding Nemo and the Festival of the Lion King as the best shows across the parks. One lists Fantasmic as number one. But it's like 4 out of 5 list. Festival of the Lion King. And then
I mean, it's hard, but everyone wants to see it. It's never not packed. Fantasmic is never not packed.
But the Voice of the Liberty, though. This is an a cappella group that doesn't need anyone else but their sweet voices of liberty.
That is the definition of a cappella.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I mean, like...
I'm just expanding.
It's not like Festival of the Lion King's like, oh, I'm an a cappella Lion King singing group. Like, no, obviously you have your own...
Festival of the Lion King does have... Fire Dancer.
Yes.
Bud Festival of Fantasy. Who doesn't love a parade? Like, everybody loves a parade, and it's...
Everyone loves a parade.
Everybody loves a parade. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. What you got? Nothing. Okay, Fantasmic is never not packed, but it's also mostly a show of projections.
You have Pocahontas. How could you degrade her like that?
I'm not degrading. No, I'm saying, like, I would love to see more of Pocahontas, but yes, the pacing of Fantasmic...
It stays a little too long on the Pocahontas section without enough, like... I guess, I don't want to say action, but it gets really slow there. Yeah. And then the projection sections last just a little bit too long. You're like, okay, when's the next thing?
That villain's projection where they kind of morph into one another. Yeah, always feels so odd.
And it goes just a little bit too long.
But essentially, Fantasmic does its job. It's a nighttime spectacular. And after that, you can also watch the Star Wars fireworks, which is also brand new and has great projections.
Those are good. The Star Wars fireworks are great.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but yeah, those fireworks, I'm like, yo.
Yeah. Duh.
I do want to... If we're going back to fireworks, I do want to argue that in terms of all the other parks, even if you don't agree that they're the best fireworks, I think Epcot has the best availability to watch fireworks.
That's fair.
Yeah, but that's like if I want to get really easy seating to watch Illuminations that I don't really care a whole lot about, sure.
If you want to watch shows, like good shows... You would want to come to Disney's Hollywood Studios because we have so much to offer. Not only do you have the street performers from the main street, essentially, from Disney's Hollywood Studios, you also have Sunset Boulevard's, all of their street actors that are consistently putting on an act, putting on a show for about 30 to 45 minutes on the essence of almost very, like, an hour. Like, they have, like, an off and on hour. And then on top of that, the Great Movie Ride is the show itself within an attraction because you have your actual ride operator part of the whole attraction. No park does that at all. And then also on top of that, you also have the Star Wars shows from left and right, not only provided in the main stage, but you also have the march, which is the First Order march. And then those two shows of introducing all the characters from Star Wars, and then also the First Order march. That is necessarily 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows. We're not even done yet. We still have Beauty and the Beast show, and that courses from 3 set times. And also, we're adding a new show on top of that for the Pixar Summer Concert, which is 3 shows on top of Beauty and the Beast. So that's 1, 2, 3 chances to see Beauty and the Beast. And then at nighttime, you have your Pixar show from the later in the nighttime. And you still have Fantasmic. But the best part about Fantasmic is that once it's done, they immediately walk you guys out of the floodgates. So you are on the essential main street of Hollywood Studios to watch the Star Wars fireworks. That's essentially almost like 2 handfuls of shows. So if you want to spend your time watching shows, it is definitely Disney's Hollywood Studios.
I was trying to, like, go through the website and count all the shows for each of these parks. Because I was sitting here being like, oh, I feel like Hollywood Studios has the most. It has the least. Definitely has the longest shows, for sure. The longest shows to see are at Hollywood Studios, which has 8 shows. Animal Kingdom has 11 shows, counting like drummers.
Okay, yeah, all different tree performances.
Yeah, which I was counting because Epcot has 13.
If every
Tell me what that Magic Kingdom number.
10.
All right.
Well. I want to know, in terms of running time, who has the most amount of show?
I think that's hard to find online, but I would say it's probably Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, Indiana Jones is what, like 45 minutes? Just,
every show is so long.
When it comes to Animal Kingdom and Epcot, you guys do have more shows, but they're more kind of...
atmosphere.
They're atmosphere shows, which means... you can pass over them. They're not like staple shows. They're not like do not miss shows. Like, yes, they'll add to your full experience of the park, but are they required to see them to like really kind of make that park like super memorable? When it comes to Hollywood Studios, it's like
if you have three main staple shows essentially.
You do have three main staple shows, but like I feel like the only thing like I struggle with Hollywood Studios is I have to like pick if I want to wait an hour to do Tower of Terror or if I want to like spend 45 minutes watching Indiana Jones.
You get a fast pass.
It's pretty easy to miss a showtime and be like, oh, like now that I can't. Like if you have a dinner reservation, because the best places do require dinner reservations, the fast passes do go very quickly for all of the e-ticket attractions. And so if you spend time waiting in a line, it's very easy to like, you're kind of forced to choose between attractions and shows.
Not necessarily. I think it just all has to come with planning. I mean, most of your shows are in front of the castle. That's all you have going
for. Well, I would say with you, if you're saying that if you ride a show and you miss, if you're riding a ride and you miss a show, what about like a parade? It's only one parade. There's only one time you can see that. So if you go, if you're on a ride and you're like, oh, there's only one parade time, you're gonna miss it.
But Magic Kingdom also does have the longest hours between all of these parks. Animal Kingdom does close pretty early. Hollywood Studios.
Not anymore.
It's open, no, it's open.
No, we're all
right, because it's now. Because now. Well, now, yeah, you have, like, especially with...
And that's where I think the street forms is actually our strength. You're not stuck waiting for any one show. Mm-hmm. You can see it for a bit, come back, catch another. You don't have to devote as much of your day to catch every single one because they're there and just part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, but, like, Magic Kingdom shows, like, the parades and the fireworks are, like, must-dos at Magic Kingdom, where I feel like some of these other shows that are atmosphere shows are very cool to watch, but they don't, like, necessarily dictate your entire overall experience with that park. Magic Kingdom uses the most, like... characters throughout the shows that I think like people want to see and like care about. Like I love Fantasmic does have,
I mean, the only sucky thing about your show is that it doesn't offer meet and greets with the characters that we are seeing. It's not like it's not offered as much.
Hollywood Studios, you can't meet like anybody hardly that's in Fantasmic like, within Hollywood Studios.
Oh yeah, we have a thing called Character Palooza, mm-hmm. which we bring out all the major characters from our Fantasmic show
like a
to have
behind
meet and
the building.
Yeah, essentially, but you can meet them. I was like, you can't meet your special birds. You can't meet your special animals.
No, but you can meet characters you can't meet anywhere else, like Tarzan and Pocahontas in Animal Kingdom.
Well, you can meet Pocahontas at Hollywood Studios. Oh. That's no.
I
that's
think if
no
we're going into meet and greets too, I think Epcot's the only. Actually, the only park now where you can actually meet original Mickey.
I think this will be our next category.
Okay. I think all of you made really valid points for your shows. Now we're going to move on to the last category, which might even include some subsets of shows. I also want to emphasize that character meet and greets are allowed in this category. This is, of course, miscellaneous. So any points that you think are valid in making your park the best Walt Disney World park are included here. So I'm going to start with Francis because you haven't gone first yet. So take it away.
So from the miscellaneous fact, I feel that Disney's Hollywood Studios, there's so many things that you can do with that park, essentially, whether it comes to all different... Because we obviously grew up with so many Walt Disney movies, and now we're growing up with like Pixar movies and also all these live-action films. I mean, in the essence of trying to fit all of those movies in, you would necessarily put them in Hollywood Studios because that whole park is based on the movies itself. I mean, you can only put certain characters over here in Animal Kingdom. You can only put certain characters in Epcot. You can put certain characters in Magic Kingdom, but you can't have the gist of a taste of everyone into one grand park. And then I feel like you can do that in Disney's Hollywood Studios. The area and the conveniency of trying to like fit in. I mean, like my park was designed as a half day park, but if you really wanted to enough, you can make it a full day because that's how much my park provides for Hollywood Studios. Is you can do so many things in what on what it was in the essence for. So therefore, Disney's Hollywood Studios, y'all, come through.
I think from my miscellaneous category, I will point out that Animal Kingdom might be one of the most beautiful parks, so he's domestically that Imagineering have ever designed. Every corner of every land, minus Dinorama, yes, I know, is is detailed beyond belief. Like, anywhere you look is just gorgeous and has story and detail and was thought of with care to take you into that world. Even the rest of the half of the Dino Land, the actual, you know, research side, right, that side it is detailed and wonderful as well. When you're in Harambe, you are in an African market. When you're over by Everest, by Anandapur, you are in a Tibetan Nepalese town. You are there. Like it, and from what I've seen of Pandora, it's no lesser. It just raises the bar even higher. Again, some of the best theming and detail I've seen in any park, minus Dinorama.
I like how you always have to add that stipulation.
It's important.
They'll point really it out.
It's true. It's very true.
Well, there's a lot I can bring up with Epcot in terms of miscellaneous, but one of the things I want to bring up is character meet and greets. I feel like in Epcot is one of the only parks where now you can meet classic Mickey. In Magic Kingdom, he's talking now, but he's in a magician outfit. In Hollywood Studios, he's Sorcerer Mickey. He's in a safari outfit. Of course, you want a variety of Mickey, but if you want to meet classic Mickey, he's in Epcot, and you can go to character spot and hit up all the original characters. You can find Daisy there, Pluto there, Mickey there, Goofy there. And of course, some characters that you can't meet anywhere else, especially, I don't even think outside most of the U.S., but you can meet Baymax is still in Epcot. You can meet Joy and Sadness there in Epcot. These are some characters that you won't find in any of the parks, so I think they have unique meet and greets, especially around the World Showcase, where you can actually meet these characters, these princesses, in their authentic lands. You can meet Belle in France. You can meet Aladdin and Jasmine in Morocco. You can meet Snow White in Germany. You still have that Disney aspect where you can meet all these Disney characters, but in their specific pavilion as well, which adds a nice backdrop. Besides character meet and greets, and we were talking about shows earlier, I think the biggest thing with Epcot are their special events. You can't visit Epcot without running into a special event, whether it's in Food and Wine during the fall or the Christmas holidays around the world during Christmas. They just added a Broadway section in July. You have Flower and Garden during the spring, and then you have the summer concert series during the summer. So you literally cannot visit Epcot without something special going on, and including with all those extra shows. Especially during holidays around the world, you can do a candlelight processional with a celebrity guest star. I know I saw Jodie Benson read during a presentation, so like just going to a park and seeing a celebrity during a show, or visiting all the countries around the world, learning how they celebrate, or seeing in July or in January, seeing Broadway stars actually perform some of these classic songs that are on Broadway theatricals, or if you're going during Food and Wine or Flower and Gardening, especially if you're involved in HGTV or the Food Network, you can visit some of your favorite stars from that, or if some of your favorite cover bands for the summer concert series. It's just there's a multitude of different events happening at Epcot which add to that experience.
So we all love Disney. I think we all can agree that we love Disney because we love the aspect of being able to be a child at heart. Disney brings out the child that's within us, and we all have an emotional attachment to Disney itself, and that's what makes us all the super Disney fans we are. And Magic Kingdom is like an emotionally driven park. It is the only park that really offers you that kind of adventure outside of beyond. Like, Magic Kingdom puts you in Fantasyland. It puts you in this magic world that is way less kind of practical than all of these other kind of worlds. I mean, you know, you have Animal Kingdom that's based on like real life places. Epcot is based off real life places. Hollywood Studios is like at California Street. And when you get to Magic Kingdom, you are transported to these worlds of fantasy. It is where imagination thrives, where it lives. It, you know, that's what brings us into Disney, and our love for it and passion is that creativity, and for us to actually, you know, bring out that inner child in all of us. I mean, the attendance alone, I mean, solidifies that as the best park. And I believe this was in 2015, the attendance of Magic Kingdom was 20.5 million people. Epcot was only 11.8 million, and Disney and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios were both at like 10.9 and 10.8. And if you really look at it, the fact that a one-day ticket to Magic Kingdom is $115 and a one-day ticket to any of these other parks is $107, which kind of shows you like how much you actually get out of that park and how much it has to offer. Also, Magic Kingdom is really the best when it comes to these special events because all the major holidays are really taking place in Magic Kingdom. Like, Magic Kingdom at Christmas time is amazing. Mm-hmm. You actually get a Christmas parade there, unlike these other parks. Halloween, like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, is also amazing. Magic Kingdom uses a lot of the new latest technology, and like I said, when you think of these parks, you think about walking down Main Street, you think about the castle, like when these people are like, you know, win the Super Bowl, and it's like, where are you gonna go? And it's like, Walt Disney World, and then they do their little mini parade, like in Magic Kingdom, because that is the identity of what Walt Disney World itself is.
I want to bring up a thing about special events. Unless you're going Christmas week, if you want to experience like the actual Halloween or the actual Christmas at Magic Kingdom, it is a hard ticket event that you'll have to pay for. Unlike if you went to Epcot, all of the events that happen at Epcot are part of the general admission.
But the kind
yeah,
of
but there's no Christmas and there's no Halloween into it.
Yeah, but I mean that's kind of what makes these events so special is because
I was gonna say, Christmas around Epcot is one of the biggest things. So Magic Kingdom isn't the only one that celebrates Christmas.
I'm not saying it's the only one, but I'm saying as far as like kind of what you get and how Magic Kingdom celebrates Christmas versus these other parks and how they celebrate Christmas. I mean, they have their own Christmas party, and I mean it is a special ticket event, and yes, but. But because the value you get out of that comes with a higher ticket cost, and it is exclusive. You know, it's not as busy as like any other normal time with the Magic Kingdom around the holidays, and you get like free hot chocolate and gingerbread cookies or some other cookie like when you're there. Same with like with Halloween. I mean, you're getting exclusive entertainment, exclusive meet and greet with characters, and it makes it more special than any of these other activities that you can do that are seasonal in the other parks.
With an additional price.
Yeah, exactly. But you pay for those extra experiences.
She's saying that Magic Kingdom is the essence of it. I was like, that's the reason why people keep coming is because all of the stuff that we have to offer. Yes, it's a hard ticket event, but people are willing to pay for them.
They always sell out.
Yeah.
You've all made your points about your miscellaneous offerings, but now I want to
bring up one more thing, though.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I want to open up the floor now.
I'm going to bring up to everyone's, besides Francis, because I don't know if they have it at here, but if we're talking about maybe not even Magic Kingdom. I think Animal Kingdom and Epcot. There's also just like fun additional. Yes, they're priced events, but there's a personal animal trek that right. you can do for an additional price. But I know also in Living with the Land, there's a backstage tour you can take, and there's actually a tour in Living with the Seas where you can go diving. So there's a bunch of like little extra things in some of these parks. I don't know if does
Magic Kingdom does they, offer a lot of tours.
Viewing, yeah, there's like
Keys
the Walt
Kingdom tour. Yes. And then you guys also have your special fireworks.
You have like
viewing.
Wishes dessert party, mm-hmm. which
now
is
happily
a special
ever after.
And Hollywood Studios has their
Club
Star
Villain.
Wars
I have,
tour.
Yeah, this, oh yes, yeah, sure the one that's coming soon. Mm-hmm. Or did it already happen?
So like, it seems like all these parks have a little additional like extra hard
yeah,
ticket
I wanted,
activities as yeah. well.
Exactly. I wanted to make the point that it's not about the cost or additional fees that you would pay, but where those activities are contained, mm-hmm. right? Because the park still holds that. Experience. So that's what matters here. So now let's open up the floor to talk about all the miscellaneous
and I think we just did.
You made your individual points and you brought up some tangential miscellaneous points that mm-hmm. others may not have thought of. But now I want you to combine each other's thoughts. Like you were saying, for example, just to get the conversation started, mm-hmm. your character meet and greets at Epcot are superior from your point of view to the ones at the Magic Kingdom because you have more characters, for example. So
yeah.
Why would you say that the meet and greet experience is better at Magic Kingdom?
I mean, what's nice about the Magic Kingdom meet and greet, I mean, yes, you can meet original Mickey at Epcot and Mickey throughout all of the parks, but talking Mickey, I mean, I met Mickey and he straight up did a magic trick for me. I was like, yo.
He did a magic trick for me too. He does
amazing.
A magic trick every time.
No, he doesn't. He told me the Haunted Mansion story from mine.
I'm just saying, like, meeting a talking Mickey is a very special, very cool mm-hmm. experience that you only can do in Magic Kingdom. And like the princess meet and greets and Tinkerbell, you can get fast passes for those meet and greets, and you can't always get fast passes. Like I know Animal Kingdom for Safari, Mickey and Minnie, there's fast passes.
Yep.
Are there any fast passes for meet and greet characters in Hollywood Studios? Like I don't.
I think maybe Mickey and Minnie, but I think they're. I feel as if Hollywood Studios doesn't have any because we just throw them out there. We throw them out like how Disneyland does it. Like they do it on the streets, they do it at places where it's convenient. They make special locations for them. Like right now, we have Baby Groot and Star Lord, and at all of Star Wars Launch Bay, you have BB-8, the Jawas, Chewbacca, and then you also have Kylo Ren. Yes, because Darth Vader is. And the other coast.
Basically, just when it comes to meet and greets, it's nice that you can actually schedule them within your day. Because Magic Kingdom also does have, they do have characters that kind of run around. Like, you can meet Alice and Mad Hatter by teacups pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. So there are different characters that you can meet kind of on the fly versus, like, also being able to plan meet and greets, which I think is really important for anybody with a serious, like, vacation planning mode going to that park.
Animal Kingdom also has a couple other side things, like there's the Wilderness Explorer stations for kids to canoe. That's a free thing anyone can do throughout the whole park. There's stations in each land. They can earn their own little Wilderness Explorer badges. There's a couple of different paid tours, like there's a safari trek one that goes through the safari area. There's also a new one they just started called Walking with Giants, or no, Caring for Giants. That specifically is about the elephants. It's a little more affordable, and you can get pretty close to and learn about the elephants themselves. Those are all very unique things that some are more expensive and some are free that anyone can do that you can't get at the other parks.
I will say the one thing I really, really want to do out of probably all the parks that I haven't done yet is the one in Animal Kingdom where you walk over the alligators. Yeah. I like really want to do that one. I think that's such a cool a cool thing.
I just have one thing that it's a little word that you don't hear often in a Disney park, but it's called free. And there's a place in Epcot called Club Cool, where this is a place.
Oh, boy. The party zone.
Well, this is a place where you can get free soda at the Walt Disney World Resort. Yes, I said free soda. Now, it is not your normal soda. It is soda from around the world. There are some specialty flavors that you can taste.
It's about this big.
Yeah, that, I mean,
but you can stay there all day if you want to. You can stay there all day, no matter how small the cup is.
Yeah, you have to stay there all day because the floor is so sticky, you literally can't move after.
But if you would like something other than a normal water cup, you may savor your free soda at the Walt Disney World Park in Epcot.
But I keep pressing it. It's like essential.
It's not wrong, yeah. I will say when it comes to all four of these parks, Walt Disney was obviously the most involved with Magic Kingdom, and it does have the most of his personality and his ideas and what he wanted for the park put in it. And yes, Epcot was conceptualized for a very, very long time and was a passion project of Walt. But the Epcot that we have today, is it what Walt's original vision was? Not entirely.
It's true, but interestingly enough, I don't know, when I'm in Epcot, to me, it feels more Walt to me than Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, to me, feels very, I don't know.
Consumerized.
Very much. This is here. Not even a bad thing, just the way as the feel is more of a tourist feel. When I was at Epcot, I'm like, this is a place where I'm supposed to learn and take something away with me about the world around me.
And if you actually go on the People Mover, you can see a diorama of Epcot or what Walt wanted it to be.
Progress City in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Because they want to promote, because they're like, Magic Kingdom, but you want to go to Epcot.
To argue your point, I do think Walt used Disney as a platform and wanted like new technology to be used to educate people, which is funny because I feel like Animal Kingdom is almost more educational than kind of what Epcot.
Oh, in his current state, I would say yes.
Animal Kingdom is about the environment and about animal care. And
Epcot, it's educational about one thing.
Sure. I mean, well, Epcot's educational about one thing, too, in that, I mean, like, you have, like, culture.
Technology and innovation.
Yeah, yeah.
And the entire innovations area has different sponsors and entirely is changing. They have, like, a HP, like, color section, and then, like, there's a banking game where you can learn to save money.
Just kind of, like, the only thing left in interventions right now. Yeah, unfortunately interventions is kind of the weak point.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there is the cultural aspect and the technology and innovation section as well.
I don't know. I feel like you, I guess, make more of an effort to learn those things at Epcot, where I feel like at Animal Kingdom, like, you always have.
It is a little more natural.
It is way more natural as part of your park experience. I mean, you all, like, I get half the time you're at an animal exhibit, there is a person there to talk to you about the animals. The
safari, every station, there's people there.
The safari is incredibly educational. So, like, it's not where I think Epcot can be a very passive educational experience. Where
you have to be someone super nerdy like myself who wants to know all that stuff and wants to look at every little display and be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I know a lot of people that really don't like Epcot, and it's because they don't take the time to really experience the pavilions. They all just kind of walk around the whole perimeter like, oh, no, that's
cool. You got to walk through them, not just walk past them.
It's very passive, where I feel like Animal Kingdom is very, like, the park itself is by nature very informative.
Has, like, a giant eye on top. Information.
I would like to point out a really quick fun fact. Patrick did a Twitter poll before this debate asking, hey, for research purposes, what's your favorite Walt Disney World park? And Magic Kingdom floored all these other ones.
It was 50%.
50% out of, there was about 500 votes, I believe. Within like,
I think it ended with 50.
About an hour.
545 votes, 50% Magic Kingdom, 24% Epcot, 12% Hollywood Studios, 14% Animal Kingdom.
So
you see what the odds was against mine?
So just even in a pretty small sample in a very short amount of time, I mean, Magic Kingdom definitely is one that resonates, I think, the most with everybody.
All right, I think you've all made super valid points to each of your corresponding parks involving each of the categories that we've brought up today. We talked about attractions, we talked about food, we talked about shows, and we talked about miscellaneous, which incorporated everything else that the parks had to offer. I was going to say that the experiences had to offer, but that's all included in there. I think you've all made amazing points regarding each. So now, in the comments below, I want to encourage you guys to let me know who do you think argued their point the best, and of course, we want to know which park is your personal favorite and why. Tell us so in the comments below. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Disney Debates, guys. Thank you all for being part of this panel. It's been a pleasure having you all. Where can we follow you, Ian? Give us some information.
You can find us on YouTube at Fresh Baked and Stuff, on Twitter at Fresh Baked Disney. That's fresh with no E. And if you want to find me personally, that'd just be Ian Wilmoth at The Site on Prex.
Okay. And Francis?
So cute. You guys can find me across the board under Francis Dominic, whether it be YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, a Tumblr, which I don't use anymore, and also I said Twitter already, right? Yes. So you can find me over there under Francis Dominic with a sparkle at the end.
And of course, you can follow the rest of us here on Thingamavlogs, where we put up weekly Disney-related content, including more Disney debates, which will be coming up next. Let us know. What would you like to see us argue? Not argue, because we're not really arguing. What would you like to see us discuss in the next episode?
Also, thanks again to the Popcorn Talk for sponsoring this episode and letting us film in their beautiful studio. You can follow them on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk and on YouTube at Popcorn Talk Network. And also, if you're interested in listening to this or our past episode as a podcast, the link is in the description below to download it on iTunes. Every single episode of Disney Debates is also available as a podcast.
Thank you guys for watching so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.